There is nothing more difficult than the path of practice to liberation. Anything, any kind of work in this world, any kind of life in this world, is much easier than the path to liberation. The Lord Buddha mentioned it. He said, as a single person to fight a whole army, it is easier than to fight oneself. And that shows the difficulties of going on the path. But some of us have the idea, I just need to understand. No? I just do a lot of reading, and I need to understand, and that's it. I mean, then consider us, yeah, who have practiced for decades, to be rather stupid, rather foolish. Yeah? Why do we practice so much? Yeah? Why do we try to train the mind that is so difficult to train? Always bring it back, making the mind our tool, making the citta our. Yeah? Not letting the kilesas have the handover. Yeah? Not letting the kilesas having the power over us. Yeah? Telling us, yeah, this is nice, this is not so nice, this I want, this I don't want. Yeah? Constantly, yeah? Constantly harassing us. Yeah? Or you can also say they are constantly stalking us, yeah? Constantly watching, observing us, what we are doing, and constantly interfere in our world. Yeah? The kilesas are not a game. Yeah? I mean, they are the owner of what we call us, me, and mine. Yeah? And their interest is to make us believe that we are the kilesa, and that we actually want something, or that we actually dislike something. All our life we have lived, we think it's me, it's mine, it's myself. Whatever, it's my thought. Whatever I think, it's my thought. Whatever I believe, it's my belief. Whatever I memorize, it's my memory. My personal memory. That's what they want to make us believe. But there is no such. In the path of the Lord Buddha, there is no such as me, mine, or myself. They are phenomena. Phenomena, sankharas, phenomena of all kinds of phenomena. Avicca patya sankhara. Avicca is the condition that all phenomena arise. And the phenomena are the condition the consciousness arises. The consciousness is the condition that nama rupa, form and meaning arise, or labels. And this is a condition that feeling arises, and this is a condition that attachment and clinging arise. So it all starts with avicca, the mastermind behind this universe. And the kilesas, the fangs of our avicca, try their best to keep us under the rule of avicca. And they have three armies, the army of greed, hatred and delusion. And greed and hatred are born within this body. or in the illusion about this body, or in the attachment to this body. So we have to destroy the illusion of this body to make greed and hate go away. And this destroying of the illusion of this body is not done by understanding this body is old, this body is sick, I don't like this body. That's not enough. We really do have to understand the nature of the body, and we really do have to understand how greed and hatred are formed within the sphere of the body. Otherwise we can't leave the body behind. The first thing that we have to do is to get rid of the wrong idea that this body is self. This body is not self. We can see it, we can feel it, but who can see it? Who can see it? Who can feel it? Huh? Who knows that there is a body? Who drives the body? Does the body automatically put out its arm? Does it scratch? Does it do this or does it do that? There must be something in it, yeah, that drives the body to do this or that. So what is it? Does the mind automatically form thoughts? Does the mind automatically bring up memories? There must be a power that controls his mind, huh? Controls the brain, controls his body. The brain is part of the body. Only through the brain are the bodily functions controlled. But the brain is not the problem. If there is not the citta, the engine of a car is not a problem if there is not a driver turning on the engine. Really do understand, the body is just like a car, with an engine and with all its comfort, with its back mirrors, with seeing, with hearing and so on. If the driver of the car is fast asleep, then the car does not move. If the citta is completely absorbed in samadhi, then this body does not move either. It has no intention to move. And there you can see. You can see. Without an intention, there is no movement of the body. There is only then the natural things that come with the body. Just like breath. The breath or the heart rhythm. That's built into the system. That belongs to the system of the body. But everything else, moving the arm up, moving the leg, scratching, is done by the citta. The citta is the control engine of this body. Just like the driver is the controller of the car. And when you look at one day, I hope you do the daily reflection, and then everything goes around the body. We need to move up, we need to move down, we need to change our position, we need to walk, we need to sleep, we need to eat, we need to drink. So who is doing that? It's a citta. Within the citta, there are the kilesa. It's their home. They have put themselves in charge of the citta. And our task is to get them out, to remove them from our citta so that our citta can become pure. They have occupied every aspect of our citta, including thinking, including sensing, including seeing, hearing, and so on. They are the mastermind of this body, and we just say, yeah, yes, yes, yes. We are okay with it. But we do notice once in a while that there is dukkha. And dukkha is a very unpleasant feeling. Be it the unpleasant feeling of the mind or be it the unpleasant feeling of the body. But with the unpleasant feeling of the body we have no troubles, I mean, if you're hungry we eat, if you're tired we sleep, If you're in pain, you know, we take a painkiller. But with the unpleasant feeling of the mind, we do have a problem. No painkiller is going to remove it. Do understand that it is so that the kilesas are so at home in our citta that they make us believe that we are the kilesa, that we do want this, that we do want that, that we don't like this, that we don't like that. And this is something we have to refrain, we have to resist. They're constantly coming up, Now I like to get up, Oh, it's so painful, I want to get up from my practice, Now I'm hungry. Now I need something to drink. Constantly moving around. It's not us, it's not me, it's not mine, that's what the Lord Buddha gave us as a tool. He gave us three tools. He said the universe, there are three universal characteristics of the universe. That's anicca. All the things that appear, disappear and change. Anicca. Anatta. All the things that we can observe, including our thoughts, including our memories, including our feelings, are not me, are not myself, doesn't belong to me. That's the principle of anatta. And then the principle of dukkha. That there is dukkha. That there is dissatisfaction. Because all the things arise and cease. So we are dissatisfied. If there is a pleasant feeling, we are dissatisfied when it goes away. If there is an unpleasant feeling, we are dissatisfied. But feelings are not me, not mine, myself. And dukkha is the first noble truth. If you do understand the first noble truth, how much dukkha we have. You think only of the few moments in your life where you really had dukkha. No. When you look a little bit closer at your life, you see all the moments of dukkha. All the moments of dissatisfaction. Dukkha often is mistranslated as suffering. Isn't it? It is dissatisfaction, discomfort, dis-ease, and so on. Boredom, restlessness, all these things. What drives us on? Either restlessness or boredom. Or just disease, discomfort. That drives us. That drives us to move, that drives us to drink, that drives us to do anything. We want to escape it. And by escaping it, we have the feeling that it goes. No. When we look closer, we see it doesn't go away. We just distract our mind from that dukkha that is here and do something else where we think we don't have dukkha. All our life we distract ourselves. Distract us doing this, distract us doing that, thinking, then there is no dukkha. But the dukkha still is there. The moment we quiet down, there it is again. The dissatisfaction doesn't go with any kind of actions. The dissatisfaction that comes, as in the second noble truth, through our desires. Wanting something, disliking something, or not wanting something. Becoming something or not becoming something. That is the problem that causes the dukkha. If you have to part from something that is love, yeah, and that is dukkha. If you don't meet with the things that we want, you know, it's dukkha. That is the attachment to dukkha. That's the attachment or the clinging or the desire. That creates the dukkha. If you have no desires, no clinging, no attachment, then there is no dukkha. And the path to liberation is the path to the end of dukkha. Or it is the path to the unconditioned. Where we are happy with whatever it is. If it is raining, we are happy. If the sun is shining, we are happy. Yeah? Then we are at comfort all the time. Or we are at peace. Yeah? But this body brings us the most trouble. Yeah? Because we think that this body solves all our problems. This body doesn't solve any problems. It creates a lot of problems. It doesn't create a lot of happiness. It doesn't create happiness at all. It creates a fake happiness. Huh? The moment we relieve ourselves of dukkha of the body, you know, then this fake happiness arises. Yeah? It's actually just in our normal standard. Yeah? If the body is not in pain, the body becomes in pain if you're hungry. Oh, then you constantly think about our food. Yeah? And when the mind is in pain, you know, we have to read something. Yeah? Or we have to go to a movie. Yeah? Or do this or do that. Yeah? Or speak with other people. Yeah? Have a conversation. Yeah? Have a chit-chat. And then after the chit-chat, our mind still works on this chit-chat, you know, for a few hours, until the mind calms down again, and then what do we see? Dukkha! The first noble truth. No? I mean, it is not impossible. When we look at the first noble truth, the path that leads to the end of dukkha, that is comprised of three columns. Column of sila, morality, five precepts. And the second column is samadhi. When we train our mind to stick to one point, until there are no more thoughts, then there is no dukkha. If there are no thoughts, there is no dukkha. If there are no memories, there is no dukkha. If there are no thoughts, there is no fear. There is no anger. There is no desire. And that is not so difficult. It shouldn't be so difficult to rest into the samadhi and to see. I mean, that desire creates the dukkha. When there is a sense input, you know, this desire is either it is pleasant or unpleasant. We want to get rid of it or we want to have more of it. But while we are in samadhi, while we are in upachara samadhi, I mean we don't want anything. And that's, you can see that it is so important to reach the stage of samadhi, where the mind actually is free, where it is not driven by the kilesas. You have to get, no matter what, no matter how, no matter how long it takes. Yeah? And the path is so simple. Yeah? All what we do is, we fix our attention onto one point, be it the breath or be it the Buddha or Dhamma or Sangha or whatever you like. Yeah, and fix it there. And whenever the mind goes out, we bring it back. Yeah, that's where we put our effort and determination. We don't want. Yeah. The mind to be out, yeah? But we can't help it because it's the nature of the mind to go out. The kilesas drive it out. So, we have to reprogram it so that it sticks, yeah? And this reprogram takes a long time. So, whenever the mind goes out, yeah? We don't curse it, yeah? We don't get angry that the mind goes out. All we realize, the mind is traveling. Yeah? Okay, let's put it back to the Buddha. That's the whole job. And that's why we need determination, because the mind wants to think, the mind wants to memorize, and said, why is it there? The Kilesas brought it up, and the Kilesas asked, why is it there? They don't tell us that they brought it up. Yeah? So, no matter what comes, yeah, be it a sense impression, yeah, be it a thought, be it a memory, be it a feeling, yeah, we realize there's a feeling, there's a memory, there's a thought, yeah, and let's go back to the Buddha. Or let's go back to the breath. And that's where we put all our effort and determination, to bring the mind back to the point of observation. Yeah? And then we observe that. Once the mind gets calmer, it is easier to observe it more. It sticks more to the object. Yeah? Then we observe the object. Yeah? Then we see if the object is fast or slow or deep or shallow or whatever. We don't want to make it. Yeah? People have an idea if the breath is, you know, fine or subtle or slow, then it's good concentration. No. We just make it. And then sooner or later, you know, we will gasp, yeah? It's impossible. We are observing. Yeah? We are observing just like we observe the rain. Each raindrop, you know, it falls. You know, one builds a puddle and the others don't, yeah? They just flow off. Yeah? And some of them drop into the puddle and create a circle, yeah? Or create a wave. Others don't. Yeah? It's neither, you know, it's neither this is good or that is good. It's not, it's neither good, you know, when the breath is slow or when the breath is deep, yeah? We just observe it. We just want to know. And that wanting to know, or the desire to know how the breath is or how the Buddha is at every moment, that leads us to samadhi. So, I mean, there is something that I really don't understand. Why do you make always this fuss about this so simple method? All what we need to do is bring the mind back to the Buddha. Observe the Buddha, or bring the mind back to the breath and observe the breath. And you have all these strange ideas about, you know, how it should be, how it should, I should make it like this, I should make it like this, or it should be like this, or should not be like this. Yeah? It's impossible. We cannot make the rain drop harder or drop slower. Yeah? We cannot make the breath. The breath automatically becomes, because of the condition that the heart is calm, that there is not much thought, that there is not much activity, then the heartbeat becomes calm, and together with it, the breath becomes calm. If you try to make it calm, that's not the same thing. Yeah? But we love to do it because we want to see results. Yeah? And that is our impatience. And impatience is one of the hindrances. Huh? That hinders us on the path, on progressing. And everybody thinks, you know, I'm in progressing. Why don't I see any progress? Huh? If you go in a huge forest like the Amazon and start to cut down the trees, of course, for years and decades, you won't see any progress. Because wherever you look, there are still trees. Huh? Until the last tree has gone. And then you see, there's no more tree. But until then, I mean, you still have to work. Yeah? So be patient. Yeah? Don't try to make it happen. Yeah? Just be patient and the results will come by themselves. Yeah? Just like I always use a similar, you know, digging a hole. Yeah? Dig the hole, you know, and the results will come. Yeah? The hole will get deeper, and the deeper it is, the more aloof you are. Yeah? The more distant you are to all the impressions that are above on the planet, on the earth, Yeah? On the surface of the earth, yeah? But if you're not deep enough, of course, you know, you will see all this, yeah? All the wind and the rain still going on, yeah? The people chatting and hearing, the animals crying and barking and so on. But the deeper the hole is, yeah, the less you hear. Until you're so deep that everything disappears. Yeah? And that's when, what happens, you know, when we are in samadhi and go on, yeah, concentrating on the Buddha, on the breath, yeah. Not until the breath disappears. That's wrong. I don't know how you get this strange idea. The breath stops. It doesn't disappear. If it disappears, it disappears because of our boredom with the breath. That's why it disappears. Oh, the breath becomes so subtle, you know, and our mind is all in all activity around. The breath will stop, and when you realize it the first time, of course, you will have a shock and, you know, inhale very deeply. Until you get used to it, you know, and said, okay, whatever can stop, let it stop, and whatever stays on, you know, stays on. Yeah? So then you just jump to that knowingness that the breath stops. Not that the breath disappears. You get it by now? Oh, the breath is so subtle, I can't feel it, it disappeared, so shall I jump to the knowingness? You can't jump to the knowingness because you don't know where the knowingness is. Because the knowingness is with all these other objects that you're interested in. And you're not interested in the breath anymore. It becomes so clear-cut, yeah? Of course the breath becomes subtle and more subtle. But the more subtle it becomes, the clearer is your awareness of the breath. Yeah? It's not that you don't find the breath anymore. That's disinterest. Really, really understand that. Yeah? Oh, the breath disappeared, what shall I do? Get your interest back. That's what you should do. You're not interested in the breath anymore. That's why it becomes disappear. Huh? I mean, this. I really don't understand. You know, I mean, you hear the teaching, you hear the method, and then you try the method and it works. The moment you start to think about this method, nothing works. Huh? You have all sorts of ideas here, how it should work, how it is, what do I have to expect, what do I not have to expect. Then you hear this and you hear that, and then you're completely confused and you wasted all your time, yeah, thinking about how practice should be, instead of practicing. Huh? And it's the same thing with investigation. Huh? Investigation of pain. Huh? I mean, you have to understand what is pain. Huh? Not asking why is there pain. If you have a body, there is pain. Yeah? So if there is no body, we don't have pain. At least no bodily pain. Yeah? So asking why there is pain? Because of this body. Yeah. Why is there attachment to this body? Because I have not understood the nature of the body. Yeah. For questions why there is pain, why there is anger, why there is greed, you know, I mean, that's not the right question. That question leads to thinking. Yeah. Leads to conjecture. Leads to ideas. Then we hear this and then we hear that, you know, and they come into our mind, you know, and then we are completely confused. And with all these different teachings of all these different Western teachers, yeah? We read this book and we read that book, we still don't understand, yeah? Each teacher will have a set of words that he uses, yeah? And if he's a good teacher, the set of words that he uses and the sets of words of another good teacher will lead to the same results. Because it has nothing to do with the words, it has something to do with our practice. But of course we hear these two teachers, you know, using different words and then we imagine there's something else. So understand well, you know, I mean the practice of samadhi is very simple. When the mind goes out, we bring it back. Once the mind stays onto its object, we observe it. And until the concentration becomes so strong that we cannot stay on the object or the breath disappears. I mean, how much clearer can you say that? And whatever else other people say, you know, forget it. Just do your job, just dig the hole. Everybody knows if he takes a shovel and digs a hole, he will get a hole. No matter what kind of shovel you have. If it's a small shovel, you know, it takes longer. You know, if it's a big shovel, you know, it's heavier, but it's not so long. That's the only difference. But you have to dig at the same spot. But your digging goes like, that's nice, it's soft, you know, and 5 minutes later, oh, there's a big stone, let's dig somewhere else. And then you dig at another place, it's much better now, not much better now, And then 10 minutes later, there's a huge stone. Then you go to the next. And, I mean, you practice 12 hours a day, But there's no hold, because each time, you know, it becomes difficult, you go off and try something else. A shuffle at the same spot, put it in the earth, take out the earth, and there will be a hole. And that is nothing else than the simile with samadhi, Whenever the mind goes out, bring it back. Bring it back, and then once the mind stays, more or less on the object, observe the object. But we don't like simple things, our mind likes to concoct up, I mean, the more complex it is, the more interested we are. Then we try to think, try to figure it out. Oh, how can we do that? A simple instruction like that, you know, I mean, how can it be misunderstood? And of course, you know, there will be difficulties because the mind or the kilesas don't want to go back from their thought tour. That's where we have to put our determination and effort in. Okay, let's go back to the Buddha, or let's go back to the breath. And then the kilesas, you know, once it gets calm, you know, once there are not so many thoughts and not so many memories coming up, then the kilesas tell us, oh, that's boring, that's boring, that's boring. They don't tell us directly, you know, they inject it in our veins, And then we slowly get tired, And fall off, Or we slowly get disinterested without even realizing that there was a thought. Oh, that's boring. It's everything, it's the same. How long do I have to do it? You know, all these thoughts that come up. These are the hindrances that the kilesas put in our path. And we have to overcome them. Not finding a way around them. Overcome them. Go through them. And there's lots of methods, you know, how to overcome tiredness. There are lots of tricks, how to overcome boredom, and so on, and so on. Just make it more interesting. But the same thing, and the method for investigation of the body is very simple. How shall I investigate the body? Open it up, close it. Open it up, close it. Until the citta understands. And how often did I say, the mind understands it after 3 times. Okay, that's clear. That's clear. Now I can stop it. The moment the thought comes, now I can stop it, you haven't achieved anything. It's not insight, it's understanding. Understanding is done with the mind. He sees 3 times, normally our mind is quite quick, he sees it 3 times, that's understood, that's how it works, so I don't have to investigate it again. But the citta still doesn't know. The citta still attaches to it, it still lingers to it. Because the citta has to understand. So we have to observe the body or the pain or the fear or whatever it is, whatever we investigate. Open your heart, and let the heart see, and then ask the heart, you understand it? And if you a little bit, if you just have a little inky feeling of your heart, you will hear it now. Does not understand. So you have to do the exercise 1,000 times. After 10 times it becomes boring. You have to do it 1,000 times. You have to do it 10,000 times. You have to do it 1,000,000 times until the heart says, okay, understood. That's when you really understood it. I'm sorry, but we in English we have only one word, understood, That's why I said if the mind understands it's wrong, if the heart understands it, it's right. If it clicks in the heart, if the heart knows, But if you don't have access to your heart, everything is within the realms of your mind, and that's why you can't progress anything. The heart has to understand. Open the heart. Show him what there is, and then ask him. You understood? And if you have a feeling, you will see, no. And you do that. Don't think, you can do that in a weekend, or on a long course, It's a hard work, It's just like I said, You send into the Amazon forest, and your task is to cut down all the trees. How long do you think it will take? After 3 trees, you say, oh, I know how to cut down trees, now I'm finished. It's hard work, No, as long as there are trees around you, you have to cut them. As long as you have not understood the loathsomeness of the body, they're still clinging to the body. No matter if the body is old and, it gives us a lot of dukkha, and the older we are, the more we know it. But that is the understanding that takes place in the mind. It's not the understanding that takes place in the heart. The heart still longs, And if you watch it, observe the heart, very closely, it doesn't long for this old body. But it longs for the body when we were 20 or 18, when we had full power, full energy. That's where it longs for. It doesn't long for an old body. It doesn't long for a baby body. Because it knows it has to program it for 16 years until it reaches its height. And this longing is not going through thinking about, this body is so much to come. It's going through opening up this body and understanding the nature of the body and investigating what is this body bringing to us. What kind of pleasure is this body giving us? And if you think, to overcome pain of the dukkha or painful feelings of the body, that is the sukha, that is happiness. Then your understanding is not deep enough to let go of this body. Because then you start eating, yeah, or drinking, or sleeping. Because you think, that is the sukha of the body. But try to sleep when you're not tired. Yeah? Or try to eat when you're completely full. Yeah? You eat only until you know the dukkha of the pain is relieved. And the dukkha of the body is relieved. Yeah? Or you drink only until the dukkha of the body is relieved. And you sleep only until the dukkha of the body is relieved. Yeah? So the body itself doesn't bring you any pleasures. Yeah? But you think there are so many pleasures that the body gives us. Yeah? Okay, investigate it. What is the pleasure? Yeah? And then maybe you can come to the senses. The pleasure of seeing. Yeah? The pleasure of hearing. Huh? Where is this pleasure? You know, I mean, then go through one day, just through seeing. Yeah? Is that all pleasure? I mean, it makes the eyes tired, yeah? Look, watching all these things. Yeah? Some of the things that you see, you know, are nice and have a comfortable feeling. But most of the things that you see, you don't like to see. Hmm? The same thing with hearing. Hmm? You find it very pleasurable to hear the rain? It can be, you know, if you put your attention if you change your views, yeah. But for most people it's disturbing. Hmm? You like the heat of the sun? If it's too much, you don't like it. Yeah? So investigate the things. Yeah? What you hear, what you see, what you feel. Yeah? Where's the pleasure in these things? Yeah? It's all anicca. It comes and it goes and it changes. So get it straight, you know what I said? Now the rain becomes too heavy. It's too strenuous for my voice, yeah. Shall we close at this, yeah? I end the talk, yeah.